2 Timothy chapter 3. As you turn there, we'll open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we can gather here this morning, and we thank you for the beautiful sunshine and the beautiful time of year that you've given to us. Lord, we just ask you to please be with us this morning as we meet here. Father, I just pray that you would guide our hearts, our minds, and our thoughts. And Father, as we see the things transpiring and the things happening in our world around us, Lord, help us to keep in mind, Lord, that you are coming back and that you are going to take us home to be with you, and that, Lord, things will be right one day. And Father, just help us to keep our eyes on that. Father, please guide our thoughts this morning. Please be with the classes downstairs. Be with each student. Help them to be attentive. Be with each teacher. Give them wisdom. And Father, just pray that this will be a good Sunday school hour. And that, Lord, we just get a little closer to you today. And we just give you all the honor and glory for all that you've done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, that's where we're going to be this morning. But I want to read a verse to you. You don't have to turn to it, but it's the last two verses of the Bible, Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21. It says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." And then it says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And, you know, as we look at these things that are going on in our world and things that are happening and things that the Bible has told us are going to happen, the thing to keep in mind, you know, of course, being Christians and really trying to be obedient to the Word of God, and we see things happening in our world, not just our country, but in our world, that cause us to stress a little bit. We shouldn't worry. Yes, it's things that are going to upset us. We understand that. But we also have to understand that God has a plan. And God's plan is that the Lord would come back. And the Lord's going to come back. And for us in this church age, he's going to come back and take us in the rapture. The verses, remember, if you remember back to last week there, we talked about the actual second coming of Christ. And that's when Christ actually comes to the earth. And so, but we as a church, we as believers now, we're looking for that rapture, which is going to take place 7 years, at least 7 years before, around 7 years before that second coming of Christ. And so as we are getting into these things, and I was thinking this as I was preparing this lesson for today, I was looking at a lot of different statistics, and statistics will depress you. They certainly will. So I'm not going to share a lot of statistics today. If you're watching the news or you're aware of some of these things, I don't want to bring us down too bad this morning. But as I was looking at those things, I don't know, the Lord just brought those verses in Revelation to my mind. And it says, "He which testifieth these things, saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." And, you know, we can say that today. You know, please, you know, even so come, Lord Jesus. And we talked about the, you know, how we hear these things throughout the years and whatnot. But things that we're definitely seeing progressing in our time that we're in now, 2023, you know, and heading into 2024. It's amazing to me the things that we have seen change in society. And a lot of it was brought on, well, it wasn't brought on, but a lot of it was motivated or sped up with our COVID pandemic and things like that and stuff, and we certainly see that. You know, I think one of the biggest hits to our country and to really our world was the attack that COVID and the government put on churches and just closing churches and getting people used to not going to church and getting them comfortable and just maybe staying home and live streaming a service rather than going and fellowshipping with the body and having that time together. I know that I've shared this with you before, and just bear with me, but, you know, when I was in the hospital, and once I started getting a little bit better, I couldn't wait till the day I could be back in here, you know, get back in fellowship. And, you know, when I'm laying in that hospital and people would come to visit, oh, that was great, you know, and it was a little bit different than what it was before I went in the hospital, you know. I could say, oh, so-and-so's coming over, and I'd be like, eh. But once you get a different perspective of things, and you know, as we see these things advancing, we see things happening in our world, we really need to treasure the time that we spend together more. We really do. And we need to encourage each other more. So we're going to look at some things. I mentioned last week that there's 16 different signs in the Bible of the second coming of Christ. And again, remember, we're looking for the rapture. Nothing has to happen for the rapture to take place. The rapture could take place right now. It would be right on time. But we're going to look at some of the things that the Bible has told us are going to advance and are going to happen as we get closer to that time of Christ's return. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be there most of the time this morning. But we're going to look at the first, probably the first nine verses, really. We could look at the whole chapter, but time doesn't allow for that. But we see here verse number one, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, when we stop and we read these verses, and I'm sure that if you've been in church any amount of time, you've probably heard messages preached on these verses before. And certainly, you know, we see things advancing, we see things happening in our world today. And verse number one, it talks here about these, in these last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times. Perilous is defined dangerous or hazardous, full of risk, as a perilous undertaking or a perilous situation. Perilous times shall come. I don't know, I mean, I'm only 53, but in my lifetime, I was going to say short lifetime, but I'm starting to get away from that a little bit. But in my lifetime, 53 years, I can definitely see that in the world around us, not just in the United States, but the world around us, it seems like there's a lot more danger. It seems like there's a lot more violence. Seems like there's a lot more anger, and that anger is shown not just in attitude, but it's shown physically as well. If you think back to the time when we had all the, all I can think of is the Black Lives Matter. What was the other one? Antifa. When those folks were having all those protests, and they were looting stores and things like that. I remember, and this is probably a couple of years ago now, but I remember hearing about a football game took place, and I can't tell you who was playing or anything like that, but this particular team lost, and the folks of that city literally destroyed that city. They were looting businesses, they were flipping over cars, they were burning things, they were doing all this stuff because their football team lost. And I was like, wow. I remember just last year, I was talking with a person from Philadelphia, and he said this. He goes, whether the Eagles win or lose, something in Philadelphia will burn tonight. And I thought, what in the world? Really, is that what we have come to in our country? And we've seen the outbursts. We've seen the things happening. It seems like the craziest stuff is protested. I find it amazing that the people that are out in the streets walking in support of abortion are against the death penalty. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it just makes you wonder, how do people's minds think and so forth? We certainly understand from the scriptures that Satan has definitely darkened their minds. They love darkness rather than light. We certainly understand those things. But in verse number two here, it says this, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And boy, don't we see that today. I mean, we really do. We have seen a whole industry that has exploded off of just self-exaltation, just elevating self, you know, the social media aspect of things, you know. We find here in Verse number 4, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Let's see. Yeah, despisers of those that are good traders, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we see here that they shall be lovers of their own selves. And we certainly see that today. We certainly see that advancing and see those things through social media and other things. I got wondering about the social media aspect of things. I'm not on social media. I will say this. If you go on Facebook, you will find us. Okay? You will find a profile. You will find Becky and I on there. We aren't on there. Okay? There is a profile that has been built. It was done through a messenger app or something like that, but we're not on Facebook. You're not going to see any posts from us or anything like that. Emily's picked up that slack. You can take that up with her. But but the whole social media thing and how that has advanced. And I want to share just a couple of things with you this morning. In 2018, now again, this is quite a few years ago, but in 2018, there was a Pew Research Center survey of nearly 750 13 to 17-year-olds. And it found that 45% of them are online almost consistently, and 97% use a social media platform such as YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, or Snapchat. So I got thinking about that, and I thought, is there any adverse effects to having this kind of a social media presence in our lives? And actually, the Mayo Clinic did a study on this. And this is their findings on constant social media use. And again, it was directed towards 12 to 15, 12 to 18-year-olds. We certainly know that demographic has changed greatly now. But it says this. Mayo Clinic found this. However, social media use can also negatively affect teens, distracting them, disrupting their sleep, and exposing them to bullying, rumor spreading, unrealistic views of other people's lives, and peer pressure. The risks might be related to how much social media teens use. A 2019 study of more than 6,500 12 to 13-year-olds in the U.S. found that those who spent more than 3 hours a day using social media might be at heightened risk for mental health problems. Another 2019 study of more than 12,000 13 to 16-year-olds in England found that using social media more than 3 times a day predicted poor mental health and well-being in teens. A 2016 study of more than 450 teens found that greater social media use, nighttime social media use, and emotional investment in social media, such as feeling upset when prevented from logging on, were each linked with worse sleep quality and higher levels of anxiety and depression. Interesting. I mean, those are the things that they're finding in teens and young adults from prolonged and constant social media use. I know Emily will share things with us. Hey, look at this post and see what this person wrote. One of the things Mayo Clinic brought out was the fact that it gives people an unrealistic view or picture of life. And it's true. We have seen posts from people, no one here. Okay? No one here. I want to say that. Nobody here. But we've seen social media posts that have been so exaggerated or so false, and we'll go, wow, I can't believe they posted that. That's not true at all. But they want that to be what people see of them. They want that to be the image that people see. Why? Because we're lovers of ourselves. We see in verse number 2 here also that there's going to be an increase in these perilous times. We're going to see that people are going to be covetous, boasters, proud, and blasphemers. Covetous, you know? I got to be honest with you. Some of you guys drive some trucks. Breaks my heart. When Emily was just little, I got rid of my truck and got a minivan. And I have not yet been able to get back to my truck. And I got to tell you, some Sundays I drive in and I go, oh, look at that. What a nice truck. Oh, that is beautiful. You know, Mark, you challenge my spirituality every time I see your truck. I am just making light of it. Okay, I do want a truck, don't get me wrong, but we see things happening today in our society where people see something, they want it, and then they go take it. And it's being justified. It's being justified. It's being said that it's okay. Why should you have something that I can't have? I remember, you guys know that I worked in a prison for a while. I remember talking to this one guy. He was a thief and just perpetual, just always stealing, always taking, always getting. And I said to him one day, I said, why? I said, you're a smart guy. You really are. Go get a job. Why keep living this way? And this was his answer to me. Why should I work when I can take what you have? Wow. Now, this is 25 years ago. Now, that mentality has left the prison and crept into society. Why should you be able to have something that I can't have? I deserve that. I deserve to have those things. And we see covetousness growing. When I came to this next word, boasters, I got to be honest with you, it made me laugh. Boasters, have you ever remembered a time in your life where you see people that are so proud of so little? They bring so little to the table, but they are so proud of it. And they boast. My work environment, I hear people boasting about stuff that you go, isn't this just common sense? I mean, is this really something that we're boasting about? But we see it. We see it getting media attention. We see it in our government. We see it in everything. People are just boasting, and hey, look at what I've done. Look at what I have made happen. And some of it you're like, yeah. And some of it we're like, well, you shouldn't have done that. But the boasting and the bragging of it, proud, you know, we certainly know what the Bible says about pride. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble, you know, and God has a way of dealing with the proud, but we see pride just really exploding as well. But this next one, blasphemers. I can remember, I went to school in the 70s and early, well, 70s and 80s, 70s, 80s, graduated high school in 1988. There was no social media. There was very little computer activity, and there was not a cell phone. It was a good time. I can remember in school standing, having a patriotic song, saying the Pledge of Allegiance, and at that time having a moment of silence. They wouldn't call it a prayer time anymore. But we had a moment of silence. And I even remember teachers saying, if you are a Christian, take this opportunity to pray. If you're not, then just please stand there quietly. But they would even mention prayer. We come to a point in our lives today where there's just a total lack of even a basic knowledge of God. And then the blaspheming. The word blaspheme means this, to speak of the supreme being of God himself in terms of impious irreverence, to revile or speak reproachfully of God or the Holy Spirit. Boy, we see that today. I'll tell you, and we can go back to social media, but we can go back to media in general or the world's view in general, and the only people that you can really get away with really picking on today is the born-again Christian. You can't say anything out against a Muslim. You can't say anything out against any of the others. Even the social stuff, homosexuals, the transgender thing and all of that. You can't say anything about any of that. But boy, it seems like it's okay to take some shots at the church. It's okay to take some shots at Christians. And you know, most of the time that I hear shots being taken at Christians is because that Christian is simply saying, the Bible says, but the world doesn't like what the Bible says. And we are in a time now where that is considered, in some places, hate speech. It's considered intolerance. It's considered to be prejudicial. And all we're doing is going, but the Bible says. And yet, people are so angry at that, and so angry at the Bible, and so angry at God, and they don't want to hear it, and they will mock, they will blaspheme, they will speak so awfully about God. And, of course, we certainly know what our government's done to try to remove God from everything public. Remember when prayer was taken out of schools and things like that. I remember asking a church group one time, I said, you guys are of the age, it was a class we were doing, I said, you guys are of the age that you were the ones that had kids in school when they took prayer out of school. It was your age group. I said, how did that ever happen? And I remember this one lady going, we never thought it would. We heard rumors, but we didn't stand up against it because we never thought it would ever happen. And God was removed from the school, and he was removed from all kinds of things. And, you know, we see that there are, you know, monuments being taken down and people trying to get the Ten Commandments removed from places and things like that. They just don't want anything to do with any reminders that there is God, that he exists. And they certainly don't want to be told that one day they're going to stand before him. Because this whole I'm okay mentality has exploded. And who are you to tell me how I should live? I'm not telling anybody how to live. I'm telling you what the Bible says. If you don't like it, then, you know, don't like it. But, you know, take it up with God. Someday you will. But, you know, unfortunately, when we witness or when we take a stand on biblical principles, it's us. We're the face. We're the ones that they come after. But the blaspheming, the attack upon God. The next one, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Turn with me to Ephesians 6, if you will. Ephesians chapter 6. So, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Just in a little bit of just humor to share with you this morning, but I used to quote these verses to Emily all the time when she was little. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. She learned the next verse. I would say that to her, and she would turn around and she'd go, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We would have fun with that, but it is a biblical principle, you know? It is. Children are to obey their parents. They are to honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I mean, we know that. The scripture is full of that. It's full of examples. It's full of bad examples, too, those that didn't do those things and what that meant. But, you know, there's a responsibility on the fathers or on the parents as well, here specifically the fathers, to provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, the devil has done a tremendous job at tearing apart the family. He really has. I didn't look up. I didn't want to give you the numbers. I know that now the statistic for divorce is higher than the number for divorce is higher than the number for marriage. Some things that is very prevalent today is just the living together. We're just not even going to get married. There's just all this stuff. The devil has been extremely successful at attacking the family. And one of the avenues that he's used greatly has been our entertainment. It really has. We went from shows where the father knew what was going on and the father was in charge and the father was to the fact that then we came to a point where the father was just there, and eventually the father was a joke. And now we're at a point now where it's all about the kids. The parents are just there to give them stuff, and the kids are the ones that are in charge and so forth. And the devil has done a great job at really destroying and attacking and tearing down the family. I got thinking about some of the things that we see in society today. I could not have ever imagined that there would be a day when a teacher would be afraid to walk into their classroom. I never thought I'd see a day like that. I didn't think I'd ever see a day where they had to put cameras on school buses. They said, well, that's to protect the children, not always. Sometimes it's to protect the school bus driver because of the accusations and the things that are going on. I can remember hearing a kid say this one time, if my dad touches me, I'll have him arrested. And I thought, wow. I didn't grow up in that time. I grew up in a time where my dad would give me a proper spanking, but if I ever threatened to call the cops, he'd have dialed the phone. And when they got there, he wouldn't have been the one in trouble. And it's just amazing what we have seen in the violence of children and teenagers today. This I did look up. A survey from the American Psychological Association of Classroom Violence Directed Against Teachers Task Force. That's a long name, isn't it? They found that 44% of teachers report being physically attacked by students. There's a lot of evidence that schools and students are more violent places after the pandemic. 2022-2023 school year was a particularly violent year for educators. In Florida, a high school student beat a paraprofessional unconscious. A 15-year-old in Georgia left her teacher with difficulty walking. Just physically attacking their teachers. What happened? This is a conversation that was had between my dad and me at one point in school. I was not a big fan of school. I wasn't the A student or anything like that. But I did everything I could to get out of school. From first grade to about third grade, I had more stomach aches than anybody else. Because I would go to the nurse, I'd complain about a stomach ache, she'd call my mom would come get me, and I'd go home. Yes. One day, the nurse called my home, and she hung up the phone, and I was like, is my mom coming? Because I had it down. I was like, is my mom coming? She goes, no, but your dad's on the way. What is dad doing home? And dad walked in, and he looked at me, and he goes, not feeling good? And I said, nope. And he goes, suck it up. Get to class and stop this foolishness. Healed. Immediately. Didn't go to the nurse again. Done. But I had a conversation one time with my dad. My dad said, if you ever find yourself in a situation where you are in the principal's office, whatever is done to you there will be paled in comparison to what I will do to you when you get home. And people go, so you grew up in an abusive home. No. I grew up in a home where my parents loved me enough that they set boundaries and they kept me in check. And that is gone today. And those that do it have to be very careful about where and how they do it. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about biblical discipline in a proper way. I complained about our minivan. But there were times in the toddler ages when it was really good that we had dark windows in that little minivan. Because when you're at the store and that little one's acting up, we were never proponents of, you wait till we get home. We were proponents of, leave the cart there, let's go deal with this, and then we'll go back into the store and we'll finish what we're doing. And it worked out great. I think so. Emily used to have this fun little thing that she liked to do to Becky where she would hide. So you go into these department stores, and they have these racks of clothes, and Emily realized that she could sneak inside the racks of clothes and hide. Well, if you're a parent, you know what it's like to turn around and the kid's not there. This is unfair to Emily. She's not even here to defend herself. There was no defense. There you go. Becky would say, Emily, come out here. Emily wouldn't come out, but you could hear her giggling. So you could find her. And then the giggling would stop. Because we had to deal with that. This is not funny. There are things that could happen. Somebody could take you. You could wander off. This is not a funny thing. And you have to deal with those things. But you have to deal with them. It's part of being a parent. I remember one time somebody telling me, you're their parent, not their best friend. But if you parent them right, eventually you will be their best friend. It's not my job to be her best friend now. It's my job to raise her in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to discipline her when she needs discipline, and to always finish that with a hug, a love you, and a lesson to be taught. We come here, and we find that in these last days, in these perilous times, we're going to see that people are disobedient to parents. Kids are disobedient to parents. Not just disobedient, they're violent. I looked it up. I can't give you the numbers. But steadily over the last 5 years, there's been a constant growth of teens attacking their parents. The number, it's raising about 2% to 3% every year. Parents attacking, kids attacking their parents. Crazy, crazy time. We see here also that people will be unthankful and unholy without natural affection. Without natural affection. Sometimes we hear stories in the media, and we see stories or we hear accounts, and we think, how could somebody do that to a member of their family? How could somebody do that to their child? How could somebody let those things happen without natural affection? Gone. For the sake of time, I'm going to speed up here a little bit, but truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That word means not restraining the passions or appetites, indulging in lust without restraint or in violation of the law, unchaste or lewd. Boy, it's amazing what we see today as being just, we're just supposed to take it. It's just supposed, it's out there. It's what's going on. We see some of these protests or these things, especially around the transgender and things like that, and just absolute perverseness that we're seeing going on and being displayed in front of children and others. Incredible. We see here the word incontinent. It's those kind of things. Fierce, we talked about the anger already, the anger that we see in the young folks, but the anger that we see displayed all around. I talked about, I've got some funny stories about quote-unquote road rage, but, I would never have gone out and challenged somebody in their car or something like that. Now we see stuff, people running people off the road. Guns are being pulled, things like that. Just a fierceness, an anger, this growing hostility in just the day-to-day life. And then we see this, despisers of those that are good. the Bible told us that in the end times we see that which is good called evil and that which is evil called good. We see in these despisers of those that are good. I'll never forget the day that we were watching our, I'm going to get this wrong. I don't know if it was Congress or the Senate. I don't know. Whichever one Pelosi was in charge of for a while there. Huh? The House of Representatives, getting up and cheering about abortion, getting up and cheering about the death of children. I couldn't believe it. Despisers of those that are good, despisers of those that are doing good. When we stand up and we try to speak up or we try to do something that's right, it gets met with opposition, it gets met with fierceness and anger and, and those things, you know. But we're supposed to do good. The Bible commands us to do good. It tells us that we are to, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, we are supposed to do good to others, especially of those of the household of faith. You know, we are supposed to do good. It's what God expects of us. But we see now growing those that despise those that do good. Traitors, again, we saw the earlier false accusers, truce breakers, things like that, traitors, just flat out, turning against traitors. We always think about the country, but, you know, there's so much protesting. And I remember when Donald Trump became president, and, colleges had to have safe spaces, and they shut down for days on end because of all the drama of it. And I remember there were people saying, well, he's not my president. Well, are you going to leave? No. I'm just going to stay here and cause as much trouble as possible. And, you know, we just see that. You know, we see that happening and such. You know, has everybody throughout all of history gotten along and had the same mindset and agreed and all that? Of course not. Were we able to discuss our differences and discuss these things reasonably and openly and really, we might not convince each other, but we just, okay, let's agree to disagree, and we just move on, you know? But, you know, we see these things here. Despises those things that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. A verse came to mind with that one, high-minded. In Romans 12:3, it says this, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, to not go thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to. And, you know, we already looked at lovers of ourselves and boasters and things like that. And here, you know, we see that this is going to advance more and more as we get closer to the return of the Lord. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, of course we see that today. If it feels good to me, if I don't have a problem with it, then I'm just going to do it, and it doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Well, I don't say nobody, but the world in general doesn't care about what God thinks about it. But then we see this, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It always grieves my heart when our political leaders will get up and take a verse of Scripture to try to validate something that is completely unbiblical. They think that by quoting a verse, they've done something amazing. And usually, 99% of the time, they've taken the verse out of context and tried to apply it to something that has nothing to do with that verse. And usually, it's to promote an agenda of their own. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then it gives two examples. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Gives a couple of examples here of those that were that withstood Moses, and using them as examples to those that withstand the Lord in our day. But you know, these things, the Bible's told us that these things are going to happen, that these things are going to take place. Certainly they trouble us, certainly they bother us. We don't want these things to take place, but they're going to take place. Why? Because we're heading towards the return of the Lord. We're getting closer to the return of the Lord. And as I read to you this morning from the book of Revelation, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But you know, this is the thing. And I want to try to always, in Sunday school, always leave us on a positive note. You know, we look at some things here today, and really, for the 16 things that are announced before the Lord's return, we covered three of them today. Extreme materialism, lawlessness, and a lack of natural affection. So those were the three that we looked at today. But, you know, let's not lose sight of this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, it's kind of, the whole lesson today has kind of been kind of a downer as we see these things transpiring in our world. But let us not allow that to depress us. Let us look at that and say, yeah, we may not like it, but these things are going to happen. And what we know, we're getting so much closer to the return of the Lord. Let us be ready. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Let us hold fast that which is good, and let us be faithful unto the end. Let's pray.